Lord God, we come into your presence as we listen to your word and hear your advice. Let your word sink deep into our hearts so that we know you and love you for who you are and do and follow what you say. So may I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. This is effectively the last in the series that we've been looking at on what it means for us to be disciples of Jesus as we've gone through this fall season. We've been thinking about Jesus' example to us, what he's saying to us, what he's doing to us, the parables he's teaching us, and how we respond as his disciples. Today I want to think about what it means for us to be diligent as disciples, what it means for us to follow Jesus as the master. We have the parable here that Jesus gives in Matthew 25. He says the kingdom of heaven is like this. He does a number of parables where he says the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a pearl buried in the ground, or it's like this or that. On this occasion, he's talking about money. He's talking about money because people seem to understand money. People seem to be worried about money. People seem to think that it's all that matters. But he's talking about this because he knows that we'd understand what he's saying when he uses his example. But it's not about money. This parable has got nothing to do with money at all. It's actually all about faith and discipleship. About doing what God himself tells us to do. So what have we got in the parable? We've got a master. This master is in charge of these three servants or slaves. But it depends on how you translate that, the Greek word. You could call it slave or servant. The reason why I think slave is the nearer translation, and it strikes a hard chord with us, doesn't it, to think of talking about slaves, because we don't want to be slaves. We don't want the concept of slaves. We don't like the concept of slavery. Yet actually in this context, as disciples of Christ, as Paul writes in a number of places, we are to become slaves to God. Slaves to righteousness, slaves to Christ. Why are we slaves and not just servants? We are slaves because we are owned by Christ. We give ourselves actually willingly as slaves. A slave, when he'd come to a period of time, sometimes a slave could be freed. And some slaves chose not to be freed and go out into the world, but they bonded themselves permanently as a willing gesture to their master. Sometimes like their ear was pierced or they were marked in some other way, that they were permanently marked as slaves of their master. And they did that willingly. We, in our baptism, and especially in our confirmation, or in some other commitment that we've made, we choose, if we choose to be Christians, we choose to become slaves to Christ. Wholly in Christ. Wholly his possession, to do his will, not our own. We give up our rights to ourselves. We're not a servant that goes home again at the end of the day. We're a slave. We are permanently in Christ. As a Christian, our Christianity isn't just an hour on a Sunday morning. It's not just a whole day on a Sunday. It's every day of the week, Monday through Sunday, every day, 24/7, awake, asleep, at work, at home, at play, at rest. We are Christians. We are his disciples. We follow Christ because we give ourselves up to be his. His, totally. And so therefore, when we look at this passage again and we see the word slave, think of it as those who are wholly committed to Christ. So there's the three slaves. One slave is given five talents. A talent was a lot of money. One, another slave was given two talents, and the third slave was given one. Now, the first slave invests these five talents and does good with it. He trades with it. He takes it out. He doesn't hold on to it. He takes it out and uses this money. And when the master comes back, he has 10 because he's done with it wisely. And the master says, well done, my good and trusted slave. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, the second slave has two talents. Again, he trades with those two talents and does great things with it and gets two more. So he ends up with four talents. And again, the master says, well done, good and trustworthy slave. The third slave has one talent. And rather than trading with it, and rather than even just like putting it in the bank and getting interest, rather than doing anything with it, he buries it in the ground out of fear. Out of fear that it will be taken off of him. Fear that it will be taken away. So he buries it in the ground so that when the master comes back, he comes up to the master and says, look here, I've got your talent. Instead of the joy from the master that he expected because he handed back the one talent, he got the opposite. He got the scorn and wrath of the master for being lazy and wicked. It's interesting what that third slave says. He says, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. The first two slaves trusted in their master and they had a good relationship with them. They trusted in what they were given and they made good out of it. The third one didn't actually understand the master at all. Yes, God reaps in one sense where he doesn't sow because he sows through us. But all things come from God and all things are of God. The third slave thought he knew the master. Well, actually he didn't. He had no understanding of the master at all. In fact, he insults him. I know you're harsh. I know you do these things and I don't want to take the penalty for that. So in fear, I hid it. He doesn't know the master at all. And so he's thrown out. And what he has is given to those that actually knew the master and did what the master wanted. Like I said, this parable, it's not talking about money at all. There are some of you here who probably do trade in stocks and shares and make a fortune. I'm sure. But it's got nothing to do with that. It's to do with our faith and what we do with the gifts that God himself has given to us. It's about the gift in Christ that he gives us in his love that he pours into us. The relationship with our Heavenly Father, our relationship with God who created all things, our relationship with God who is all and is in all. It's about that. Are we holding on to the gifts that God has given us? As individuals, God pours his spirit onto us. Not so that we fill to here and then we're comfortable. But he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled and keep on being filled is the sense of the Greek word. He wants us to be filled with God's love so much that his spirit comes in and overflows because we're not big enough to take it all. We are called to overflow with God's love, to do good things with God's love. If we think we're a Christian, we have to act like Christians outside. Our faith has to extend beyond ourselves to others. Everyone we meet, we have to pass on God's love to, pass on the word of faith, pass on the knowledge of a God that loves them. We need to counter the lies out there that say that God is wicked and mean, and tell everybody about a God who loves each and every one of us. As individuals, if we are to do wise things with the talents, the gift, the faith that God has given us, we have to reach out with it. We have to give it away. Give it to others. Share our faith. Share our love. Share our passion for a God who loves us. We don't want to be like that wicked slave who holds on to everything in fear, afraid that if he does anything, what he has will be taken off him. If he gives away, he'll have nothing left. Because God's blessing and God's kingdom and God's economy is limitless. As individuals, we must give out in our faith. As a church, we must give out in our faith. I'm fairly sure it was Archbishop Temple that said the church exists not for itself, but for those outside the walls. We exist as a church not for ourselves. If all we care about is what's inside these four walls and what happens in us and our lives, we are like the wicked slave that buries that treasure in the ground. But if what we care about more is reaching out beyond these walls, reaching out into our community, reaching out to the world around us, telling them about God's love, giving them God's love, practical deeds and acts of God's love, we are investing wisely the gifts that God has given us. We are investing wisely. And we will earn more and more talents. More and more people will come into this place. More and more people will go out from this place. And we will grow. This church will grow when we reach out. When we look beyond the walls. When we look beyond ourselves. I'm going away in 2 weeks' time. It's over to you to reach out and invest and share God's love with this town. Invest wisely. Love your neighbour. Do what he commands you to do. Amen.